What's up, Wake?
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, hey, if we haven't met yet, my name is Parker, and we are continuing in our series, Respectable Sins. But before I jump in, I just want to ask a simple question. Who in this room loves brownies? Look at that brownie pan. That's right. Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. Put your hands down. Hey, who in this room likes, you know, the corner? Look at the corner pieces. Who likes the corner pieces? Okay. Okay, put your hands down. Put your hands down. All right. This is where I land. Who in this room loves the very middle of the brownie pan? That's right. That's right. The center. Hey, you can come and talk to me later if you want, but I would argue for days that the center of the brownie pan is the best place to be because it's the softest. You get the most chocolate. It's the best piece. And I think that in a lot of ways, we want the center of the brownie pan. When you're at a birthday party, maybe it's not even your birthday party, and you skip to the front of the line so you can get the best brownie in the batch. I know I've done that before. And the reason why I bring this up is not just because I think brownies are awesome, because they are. Brownies are amazing. Thank you. It's because I think inside of all of us, we want the best. We want the best of the best all the time just for us. And sometimes we just don't really care what other people get. We want the best. And so we do everything we can to get the best. And so today we're going to be talking about selfishness and the respectable sin of selfishness. And before we jump in, I just want to say a quick disclaimer that I really struggle with selfishness on a day-to-day basis. It's hard for me. And sometimes it's even hard to detect times when I am being selfish in my life and that I'm putting my needs above other people's, or I'm putting my desires and I'm always thinking about me. And before we jump in, I just want to quickly define selfishness. Selfishness is being excessively concerned about one's life, oneself. You're so concerned about ourselves. And today I want to talk about how selfishness affects how we live out our purpose in life, to know God and to make him known. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we are going to open up a passage in scripture about selfishness. And so if you have your Bible, open up to Mark, the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be in chapter 10, and we're going to be talking about selfishness. If you have your journal as well, go ahead and open up your journal. But first, let me set up the context of this passage. And so Jesus, who we know is the Savior of the world, he's the Messiah, but he was also referred to as a teacher, and he taught the ways of God to disciples. And guys, a disciple is really just a follower. They were a learner of the ways of Jesus. So Jesus had 12 disciples that followed him everywhere he went when he did his ministry and preached to the masses and healed people and performed miracles. The disciples were with him all the time. And they were, in this passage, they were on their way to the holy city, which is Jerusalem, which is kind of the capital of the nation of Israel. So think about, like, this isn't quite the same thing, but think about like Austin, Texas. That's kind of like the capital of Texas. That's what Jerusalem kind of was for the nation of Israel. And so they were on their way, and Jesus, right before he opens this passage, he's talking about what his true purpose is, that he's going to come and die on the cross for our sins. And he predicts that. He tells his disciples, hey, I'm going to do this. And this is actually the third time that he's told them. He's like, hey, I'm here because I am here to pay for the sins of the world and die on the cross. And so right after he told them that, and he's headed towards ultimately the end where he is going to die on the cross, there's two disciples, James and John, and that's our story, is going to be these two disciples. James and John, they were brothers, they were fishermen, and they were a part of the inner circle of Jesus. And so in Jesus' inner circle were James, John, and Peter, which basically just means that they were the closest to Jesus. That there were some times when Jesus would go meet with people that he would only take James and John and Peter. And so they were really, really close to Jesus. And so they got together and they asked, they were like, all right, we're going to ask Jesus for something. And so today we're going to read a passage about what they're asking Jesus for. And so Mark 10, verse 35, it's going to be up on the screen. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to read along as well. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And James and John said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to them, we are able. Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those whom it has been prepared. And when the ten heard it, they became indignant at James and John, the other disciples, which indignant just means frustrated. And Jesus called to them and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Okay, so I know that's a lot, and there's a lot of like, there's a cup, there's a baptism, you can't be baptized the way that I'm baptized, but then you will be baptized the way that I'm baptized. I know it's all confusing. Let me just quickly summarize it, and we're going to go verse by verse. But James and John are in the inner circle of Jesus, and they decide that they're going to ask that whenever Jesus dies on the cross, rises from the dead, because he predicted that, and he goes to heaven, that when James and John die, that they would sit at the left and right hand of Jesus in heaven. That's simply what they're asking for. And Jesus just says, hey, I don't think you understand what you're asking. Truly, I don't think you know. And that Jesus says, hey, it's not really up to me to decide who gets to sit at my left and my right. It's whom it's prepared for. And he explains a little bit about the rulers of the Gentiles and how people are using leadership to like lift up their status and not actually to serve other people. And he basically says the model of leadership is to serve other people, and that Jesus is the example of service. So that's the passage as a whole, and we're going to start breaking it down just a little bit more. And I think what's interesting about this passage is I think the disciples just truly didn't really understand what they were asking. They wanted the glory. They wanted to be by Jesus in heaven, like, oh yeah, like, let's do it. But I don't think they really understood. And as we like walk through the text, I think it'll become more true that they really just didn't understand what they were doing. And I think this confusion of what Jesus was capable of who he is what really leads us to this first point, which is selfishness affects our view of God. And so starting again back, let's start back at the beginning, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And so James and John had been with Jesus for years. So like I talked about, when Jesus was doing his ministry, he would travel town to town. He would heal people, perform miracles. He would preach. And James and John were with him the whole time. Jesus had been caring for them, providing for them, been leading them. And they were able to see all these miracles, and they've been with Jesus this entire time. And I just think it's interesting that even though they were with the Son of God every single day, that they still struggle with selfishness. They were thinking, what can we get out of this? What can we benefit from Jesus? And I think they speak out of what's truly in all of us, that we really want to know at the end of the day, what's going to happen and what's in it for us. So to give you a quick little example, Raise your hand. Who likes movies in here? Okay. All right. Put your hands down. So here's the thing. I absolutely love movies. And more than anything, I love going to the movie theater because you get the full experience. You get popcorn, you get a Coke, like maybe you get some candy. Okay. Shh. And I love going to the movie theaters. But here's the deal. Before I go to the movie theaters, every time, if there's a new movie out, I look it up. And I use an app called IMDb, if you've ever heard of it. It's a movie app. It basically gives ratings and reviews. And the reason why I look at this app before I go watch a movie is because I want to know what's in it for me. If I'm going to go spend 2 hours of my day, I want to make sure that it's a good movie. So I go on this app, I check it out, because I'm not going to go and spend $10 at AMC to go see a really bad movie. Like, I'm not going to go see Cats, who, like, is 2 stars if I know it's not going to be a good movie. And so I look it up. And I know this is a silly example, but I, like, really do think this is a little bit of what James and John were thinking. As Jesus was going to the cross, they were thinking, like, what, at the end of the day, like, what's in it for me? Like, what can we get out of it before he leaves? And so what do they ask for? In verse 37, it says, and they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. They wanted Jesus to fulfill a promise that when he goes to heaven, that he would save 2 spots for them right next to him. They wanted to be closest to Jesus. And I think really this just comes from a heart of like, they wanted to be close to him. And when they looked at themselves and they've been traveling with Jesus the whole time, like they truly weren't content with where they were in the present. They were thinking about the future glory. Like, what else can we get? What more can we get from Jesus? And I think, guys, we do the same thing. And I know I do the same thing. I want Jesus, deep down in my heart, I want just Jesus. But sometimes I want Jesus and more. I want Jesus and the approval of others, or for people to praise me and glorify me and be like, oh, look at Parker, he's so awesome. I think we all struggle with this. I think we want more than just Jesus. And I don't know about you guys, maybe it's Jesus in A's on your report card. Maybe it's a spot on the A team. Maybe it's just being popular or being well-liked. But we all have something that we want that's more. And this doesn't mean, I want to be very, very clear, this doesn't mean God doesn't want you to have good gifts. The Bible is very clear. God wants you to have good gifts, and he wants you to ask for them. But it's also in light of who God is, that it's not just wanting the things of God, but it's that we praise him and glorify him and thank him and be grateful for the things that we have. And Jesus, while you might think, oh, well, these guys don't really know what they're talking about, like he might just get back at them and just rebuke them, Jesus kindly responds, and look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And Jesus right here is just trying to help them see the right view of him. The fact that like he is going to die on the cross for their sins, and that James and John aren't able to do that. And that Jesus is the only one that does that. And listen to how they respond. Because they don't, like I said before, I think they just misunderstood. They said, we are able. And Jesus says, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Jesus explains, they can benefit from Jesus' death on the cross, the forgiveness of sins, the freedom, the life found in Christ. But I don't think James and John understood the gravity of what Jesus was trying to say. Truly, they didn't understand the gravity of what he was trying to say. That I think James and John were just clouded by their selfishness and wanting more for themselves. And they just misunderstood Jesus entirely and what Jesus was trying to do. And he explains that the power to give them those spots doesn't belong to Jesus. It really belongs to God. And God is the one that gives glory to people. And so, kind of an example I thought of to kind of explain this a little bit. It's not a perfect example, but have you guys ever been invited to somebody's birthday party by another friend? Has that ever happened to you? Where a friend texts you and is like, hey, like, James's birthday is today. Like, hey, you should stop by. And you're just kind of like, well, like, James didn't really invite me. Like, I don't know how I feel. And then he's like, well, I'll just go check with James and make sure it's okay. I'll just like clarify with him and make sure that you can come. And you're just kind of like, what? Like, what? That doesn't make me feel very good. And I think that's a silly example, and it's not perfect, but like, I think this is what kind of is happening here, is that Jesus is saying that it's not up to him. It's not up to him who gets to sit at his left and his right, but it's up to God. And Jesus doesn't respond out of frustration because James and John don't understand him and misunderstand the truth about him. He meets them with grace, despite them being selfish. But it's not just the way that they view Jesus that's important in terms of selfishness, but it's also how selfishness can change our view of other people. And this leads us to our second point. Selfishness affects how we make him known. So verse 41, continuing to read through it. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Not only did their selfish view affect the relationship, as you look at it, that the disciples were frustrated at them. Not only did it affect their relationship with them, but it also affected their relationship moving forward with other people. And it talks about the Gentiles, and let me quickly explain the Gentiles. It's a group of people that doesn't belong to the nation of Israel. It's kind of like a common person in the area around them that wasn't in the nation of Israel. But this was a people that God wanted to save, that wanted them to come to know him. And Jesus is saying that there are tons of people out there that have leadership opportunities and are above these Gentiles that are using it for the wrong reasons. They're using it for their own status, to promote themselves, and not truly caring for the people around them. And back in that day, like, if you saw people above you, like, lording their position over you and their status over you, like, why would you ever want to know the Jesus or the God that they serve if they're just lording it over them? So selfishness can affect the way that we love others and share Jesus with them. And I think that's what happened there with James and John. The disciples were frustrated because the disciples saw their selfishness, that they wanted to promote themselves. They wanted what they wanted. And Jesus continues in the fact of, okay, if that's a bad way of leadership, then what is a good way of leadership? And Jesus argues in verse 43, he says, but it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He says that if you want to be the greatest, if you truly want to be the greatest, that you must be a servant of all. And I don't think we live in a culture that promotes serving other people or considering other people. We live in a culture that promotes yourself. Like, do what you want to do. Make a name for yourself. And Jesus gives us direction that we're to be a servant to others and put others' desires over our own. And Jesus is saying, hey, there's no other greater person that has done this than me. And that Jesus came, fully God and fully man, lived a perfect life on this earth, was tempted in the same ways that we are tempted, yet he never sinned. And he came and he died on the cross for our sins, for your sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That we are dead in our sins, that we are far from God. And there is nothing for us to do to make things right between us and God. And yet Jesus was the answer. Lived a perfect life. And if you're here a few weeks ago, we talked about that, that Jesus was the redemption, that he set us free from our sin so that we could now have a relationship with God, that we could have a relationship with him. But what does this mean for us? You know, we read this text and it's back in the old days in the nation of Israel, but we're here in 2022 at Watermark. What does this mean for us? And I want to tell you, and I want to be very, very clear, this is not a message to try to like guilt trip you or make you believe that you should never do what you want to do. Because the truth is, that's not true. What I want to tell you is that God just wants us to see his character and his love. That when we see his character and we see his love and we praise him for what he's done for us, that it leads us to want to show that to other people, to want to serve other people, to choose to put other people's desires above our own. And so what I want you guys to think about is how can you, on a daily basis, love God and love other people? That's truly the mission of our lives, is to love God more, to know more of God, and to make him known. And so that is my challenge to you guys. Think about that this week. How can you do that in your life? And let me be clear. It's not just like, all right, I'm going to get rid of everything that I like to do, because I just don't think that's true. But how can you use the things that you like to serve other people, to think of other people, and to think about God and how you can love God and glorify him more? And so, guys, think about that this week. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I just thank you for who you are, God, and the fact that you were the perfect example of what it looks like to be selfless and serve. And Lord, I just pray for us. God, would we see our selfishness in areas that we want our desires over other people's and God, over what you want for us. And Lord, would we just continue to think of others and to love them and serve them the way that you have. So Lord, help us to do that this week and help us to love you more and spend more time with you and to bring you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.